the qualities of the photographs that win these huge prizes, these Pulitzer Prizes, have a lot in common with fine art photography more than run-of-the-mill daily journalism. Is that the case, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think when you rise to the top of a profession and you're taking those kind of pictures, you know, you do have an artistic aesthetic, and that, you know, is part of your vocabulary. It's the same as, you know, knowing how to shoot pictures when they're backlit, or knowing how to, you know, what time of day is going to make the best pictures, and when you need to use a flash and when you don't. So I think that's just part of, you know, a good photographer has a, you know, an artistic eye, and, you know, knows the rules of thirds and all those kinds of things that artists, you know, Rembrandt, you know, it's not called Rembrandt lighting. It exists for photographs too. So
it's about having the craft in your back pocket as well as the journalistic purview.
Yeah, definitely. It's part of the vocabulary of what makes, you know, the story that you're trying to tell. You use different pieces that you carry with you all the time, and including your knowledge of previous photos. And, you know, there isn't a day goes by probably somewhere in the world where somebody taking a picture of people lifting up a pole or a piece of construction equipment, you know, doesn't say to themselves, wow, that's just like, you know, Joe Rosenthal's photo at Iwo Jima. So
these days when journalists go out, they're carrying, if not actual video cameras, they're carrying iPhones, and they're being asked to take still photos and video and write and blog and podcast. Is it possible, you think, because they're being asked to be jacks of all trades, can we expect them then to have the specialized skills that are required to be a photojournalist, to be a print journalist, to be a broadcaster?
I think to be very best at any one of those things, you really have to concentrate on it. You have to know how to use your equipment properly, and you have to know how the world interacts with you when you're certain in a certain mode. And it really is difficult to try to do, you know, all three and four.
Are you ever being asked to do all three and four at this point?
Well, we've been shooting video, you know, on and off now, depending on different times and what the flavor of the times are. Sometimes we want more, sometimes we want less, but we've been shooting video for a number of years now.
And then are you bringing... You would think that videography and photography are not totally dissimilar,
but they are really two different animals. They really are. You see things when you're a still photographer, you're watching how people move, and you're waiting for really, and it's a cliche, but you're looking for that decisive moment. You're waiting for something that's going to happen. You're anticipating it. When you're shooting video, you're watching things that lead up to something. You're watching, and you're forming a little story that you have to tell in lots of little moving parts, because if someone's going to watch a video that's 30 seconds long, they don't want to just look at one photo, even if it's moving a little bit. They want to see 30, 40 different things all happening, and you've got to put all that together. It's the same. You've got to have audio, because when somebody's looking at pictures moving, you know, they want to hear something too. So then you've got to worry about getting good audio, and you can appreciate then how people on radio, you know, do such a good job with painting pictures with words and background sounds and editing. So you can. You know, it's like when you watch a movie and you go to the Academy Awards and you watch the little demos they do on what the sound engineers do, and they show you the difference between, you know, what the movie looks like until they get a hold of it, and then, you know, the same thing with the post-production people, and you realize, you know, that movie that you watched, that you know it took a lot of work, but when you see those thousands of credits that run at the end of the movie, you realize that they all did important work.
And they all worked 12 hours a day,
and
right?
It wasn't just one guy, you know, doing 300 things, so...
It was mentioned earlier on that, you know, everybody's a journalist today. And the old adage, I think, is that we're now equipping people so that everybody's a journalist, everybody's a filmmaker, everybody's a photographer. But we've been walking on our back legs for millennia, and we haven't produced that many brilliant ballet dancers. And we've been writing on cave walls and only one Shakespeare.
Crayons,
right?
And paint have been around for a long time, and not everybody is an artist either. So, I mean, I don't necessarily feel threatened by that. You know, it does affect the business, though. So, you know, we have to live with it, and you just have to get better at what we do. We can't, you know, rest on our laurels anymore and just know that we're going to be here tomorrow because we were here yesterday.
And has any of this multimedia, this pressure of being a multimedia creator, has any of the skills that you've been forced to learn, i.e. videography, has that any of that fed back into... I won't say your skills as a photographer, because clearly those are well defined and well practiced at this point, but to your journalistic outlook, maybe?
No, I think, yeah, everything that you see in a new way, when you read a new book, you see the world a little bit differently. When you watch a movie, when you see a play, when you hear music, it affects how you view things. When you read a poem that you hadn't, you know, heard before. So yeah, using different parts of your brain, you know, always, I think in the end, makes you a better person. And if you're a better person and more around, then what you produce is going to I mean, ultimately, as journalists, we're trying, it's not just self-expression. It's not just going out and saying, I feel like doing this today. I mean, the ultimate thing is to say, you know, I'm seeing this, I'm feeling this. How can I convey this to everybody else out there? That's my job. How can I show you what I'm seeing today or feel what I'm feeling? And there are lots of different tools, and we can use a lot of them. And, you know, mine happens to be taking still pictures. So my work, I'm making that as good as I can, as the best I can all the time.
Let me try and get you to sort of a little conjecture, something journalists like don't like doing. But you're this 12-year-old kid, and it's prisoners of war coming back from Afghanistan, and you're in, I don't know, let's say you're in Germany at a military base there, and the same sequence of events happens there that you described earlier, of your father being a military man, all of the wire journalists being there waiting for the POWs to arrive, and you then doing your thing and eventually selling a photo. Can that happen now if you're that kid today?
I think it can still happen, yeah. If you've got perseverance, and you can still, it's like any other profession, you always read about, you know, the people who, you know, dropped out of college and, you know, did this or went that. So I think, you know, personal perseverance and confidence still, you know, matters a lot.
But does it matter more now? Because clearly, as you know, it's going to be more difficult to build a career in this one single area.
Granted, yes. The people, I mean, it's hard to say what I would be doing now if I were just coming up and going to college and one of hundreds of people still studying photojournalism when there's really not that much future in staff kind of jobs that we have, that we're lucky to have. So it's a matter of being committed to something and figuring out ways in that you can fund it. Like any, you know, it does become, you know, almost an art then, because you've not only got to, you know, do journalism, but you've got to figure out a way to finance it.
Let me ask you one last question. What's the best piece of photographic advice on photography you ever received, and what's the best piece of advice you can give now as a seasoned photographer?
Actually, the simplest, besides, you know, Frank or Coppa's get closer, you know, adage. Years ago, I arrived at some scene, and I was waiting for a good picture to show up and take something that I really liked, and I didn't take any pictures, and I got escorted out by the police, and there was no getting back in again. And I had been in, I could have just dropped my camera and had a picture that was better than the one I'd had then, which was nothing. So I tell young photographers that anytime, you know, you pick a camera up and you look at something, you point it, just push the button. You know, film was cheap back then, and you know, digital space, you know, pixels are cheaper yet. So, you know, if you pick up a camera, you look through it, push the button, because you can never go back, and you never know. That may be the best you get that day.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.